I committed a radio crime. I committed a radio felony. Frank Canal. Jim Kelly, I committed a radio felony. I broke the mic stand. Now, when the Field family went shopping at Walmart for mic stands, they brought home the ones that were on special. You pull this mic stand, it breaks in half. This mic stand broke in half in my hands. And my perky board operator, control board operator, came skipping out of the control room and said, no, it's not broken. You just stick it back right. No, it was broken. It was really broken. And the chief engineer, the chief technician for Odyssey Philadelphia, 2400 Market Street, in a much lower rent district than we used to be in, said, I'll come in. I'm like, why would he come in? It's 10:20 at night. He shouldn't come in. He was all ready to come in and fix the mic stand. But I felt terrible about breaking the mic stand. I felt terrible that I couldn't really see everything that was in front of me. And we committed a major mistake. Do you believe, Mr. Levin, that my problems in my personal life are because I don't understand the Constitution?
Let me explain something to you, Walter. I just did 3 hours. 3 hours on the air. I don't want to hear about the Constitution. I don't want to hear about politics. I don't want to hear about nothing. All I want to do is relax, have a glass of wine, and listen to Sterling every night on 1210 WPHT from Philadelphia, by the way, the great radio city, home of WFIL, home of WMMR, and some of the great broadcasters right now like you and various other people who come on my show. They're great. I want to do a music show. Because everybody says, Mark, you play great bumper music.
Is there such a thing as great bumper music? Isn't it sort of an oxymoron?
No, because I pick things people don't want to play. That's what radio needs to do. You want to play something? Stop playing the stupid Bon Jovi records. How many times are we going to hear Journey, Don't Stop Believing? Find another record, would you?
And then along comes Mary.
The reason so many of us had sex down the shore was because of the Association. The Association was one of the greatest rock groups of all time. In many ways shaped American culture that they don't even know, but I'm going to tell a member, an original member of the Association, exactly their impact on American culture. Jim Yester, who lives in Jersey, a Jersey guy. There's your Philly connection. Jim Yester, welcome to Sterling Every Night. Hi, Jim.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
You are an important character, figure in American music to a far greater extent than most people realize. The Association was an incredibly important and significant group because it mainstreamed harmonies, ballads, number one songs right next to the Beatles. I'm going to start with the fact that I hope to God you have a resentment, Jim Yester, a good resentment about the fact that the Association is not in the Rock Hall of Fame. What the hell is that?
Well, to my recollection, one of our major members, had a huge fight with the guy who runs it, and so we knew at that time that we would never get in. It used to bother me, but lately I read a big long article on the net about all the groups who are not in the hall, who should be. And it kind of laid me back, and I said, well, at least we're in good company.
It wasn't until this year that Dionne Warwick got into the Rock Hall of Fame. She had hits starting in 1960. She had number one hits starting in 1960. In the video of We Are the World, where a group of rock stars sang We Are the World, Elton John, Dionne Warwick was the only member of that group who was not in the Rock Hall of Fame until right now. Every other member was in the group decades ago, but she was not in.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no explaining it. A lot of times I think, well, it's got to be very political or not what you do, but who you know. Who knows? I don't worry about it.
Well, there were two key deciders for many years. It's not true anymore. But there was Jan Wenner, the publisher of Rolling Stone, and John Sykes, an executive at iHeart. And the two of them looked really good in suits. They were very thin. And but they're 70. And they were making the decisions as to who gets in the Rock Hall of Fame. And therefore, it was a little classic Rocky. It was very much classic Rocky as opposed to total Rocky, as opposed to everybody, every rock star. But let me tell you, when I was a teenage disc jockey in New Jersey, when I played the Association, when I played Cherish, I kept thinking it would be great to have a radio station that played songs like this, that played the ballads from the Beatles, the Beach Boys, the Motown ballads. But my tuning fork sound was the Association. Everything by the Association. I said, it'd be great if there was a radio station where every song could seg with the Association. And I knew that it would be huge among women and do really well with men, but it would be huge among women. There was no station like that in the early 60s, mid-60s, 70s, until about 1978. There was Mantovani, classical music, jazz, progressive rock, and top 40. That's what was on the radio. There was nothing in the middle. There was no place for your catalog. And Fred Silverman, of all people, the CEO of NBC, hired me to run their FM radio stations, one in New York, WINY, one in Washington, Chicago, and San Francisco. They had lost money, Jim Yester, they had lost money for 40 years. They had FM stations in top 10 cities that had lost money for 40 years. The political reasons for that are bizarre, but it was almost enculturated that FM wasn't radio. Those big AM stations, that was radio.
Uh-huh.
So Silverman put me in charge of the FM stations and do whatever you want, because in 1978, nobody cared about the FMs. They were afterthoughts or jokes. And the real stations were the AMs, and the AM management then went out to play golf. Well, they were playing golf. We put on a new format. And we had no idea what to call it, but the epicenter of that format, Jim Yester, of the Association, the epicenter of that format was the Association's catalog. That's what we keyed everything off of. And so we picked the Beatles songs, the Motown songs, the Beach Boys songs that would Barbra Streisand, Barry Manilow, who's also not in the Rock Hall of Fame, all of those songs had to be segable with an Association song. That was what we did.
Wow.
And we had no name for it. At first, we called it FM Middle of the Road, FM MOR.
Yeah, I remember when people were calling it MOR. Yeah.
Right. And then it was FM MOR. And then I didn't come up with it, and I don't know who did, but it became known as Adult Contemporary. Contemporary hits that were appealing to adults. If one of the Midnight Misfits listening to Sterling every night would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, there is a website on Facebook, and the gal who runs that, who is the daughter of our ex-partner Larry Ramos, who passed away, the Hawaiian guy, and they always get those emails to me, and I do answer people, and you know, and I wound up establishing some longtime friendships doing that.
Jim Yester of the Association, a Jersey guy, thank you very much for sharing time with me.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
It's Sterling F9. Thank you for listening to the Walter Sterling Show. We do appreciate it so much.